It's one of my, I have favorite hymns. That's way up there in my favorite hymn ranking. What wonderful words. Amazing love. How could it be? Man. Well, it's tonight we're going to have Brother Scott preach. He's the administrator of our school. We started the school 3 years ago, and we did have a school before that for a couple of years, back in 2007, 2008, and the economy went south, and we also, I was telling them this week, I would say the main reason why the school shut down last, and we don't like to talk about negative stuff, but I wanted to tonight, we shut down last time was a lack of teachers. And it's hard to find teachers. And I'm bringing this up because pray for Brother Scott. One of his big jobs is to find teachers. And maybe right there at the top. And to find teachers to fill spots, to in order for the school to grow, we got to be able to recruit teachers. And we don't pay all that well. And so the teachers have to understand it's a ministry. And it is a ministry. There's not a doubt. That's what it is. We're not here to make money. The tuition just covers paying the teachers, and by the end of the year, we just pray and hope we end up with, you know, black, just, you know, just in the black a little, you know, that much. And but we don't want to, not here to make money. Amen? We're here to minister to people. And so pray for Brother Scott as he continues to work and hire teachers as we grow. And appreciate also just remembering that the need for a Christian school. I've been asked several times, Pastor, if you had to do it over again, would you start a school? The answer is yes, because there is no other right answer. It can be a headache sometimes, and it has its difficulties, and there's a constant working, especially when you work with teenagers, and these teenagers are around each other. You know, not only are they around each other at school all week, but then they come to church, they're around each other all the time, and so I just throw you all under the bus, but just remembering that, but What a great need today, more than ever, is for our kids to be raised and our kids to be educated in a Christian environment. And it's slowly going away. And though we have some conservative public schools around here, they're still being heavily influenced, and it's only going to get worse. Fort Worth ISD, I'm telling you, is done. And if your child is in Fort Worth ISD, I'm sorry for you. And y'all looking at me strange. They're done. And once you make that immorality and you make that transition, and I mean, you already kicked prayer out of school and many other things out of school, but now you're going to allow the transgender and a lot of these other things to come into play. Boy, I wouldn't send my kid to anywhere near that. And so I'm thankful for Northwest ISD and Saginaw and some of these up here north still staying by the stuff. I would remind you, Keller tabled the issue. They did not settle the issue. So you might keep that in mind if your kids are in Keller ISD or you live in Keller School District. And we need to hold our school board guys to the fire. So that was my soapbox, and I'm making a circle to come around and let Brother Scott preach tonight. Appreciate Brother Scott. And I appreciate Miss Sharon. They are a good team. And can I tell you, all of our staff's that way. I appreciate our staff, our wives. What a good team. And so, Brother Scott, I think you have a choir group over here.
Thank you. Psalm chapter 127. I just want to remind you that there would be no Brother Scott or Miss Sharon if there wasn't a Brother Scott. So you that are in love with my wife and think that she's everything. Pastor did not know 3 years ago when I sat down in his office what he was getting when he got me. He also got Miss Tringmar. What a surprise that was. She's amazing. I got to say that because her mother and father are back there in the back. And they're supposed to feed me tonight, and I really like to get fed. So Psalm chapter 127, it's going to be a little bit of a different type of preaching service this evening. I've got some boys over here that we had dress out in their football uniforms. The last time that they wore those, they were losers. So we need to put a better remembrance on those uniforms. But they're going to help me today. What we're going to do is we're going to introduce you about 10 of those guys, 10 of those men, because we're raising men, not babies and sissies, right? Yes, Brother Scott. Yeah. Right, Noah? You a man? Okay, he's a man. Here we go. Don't let me get my dad. I just want to thank you for being kind to my family. We took up with two rows down here. And let me tell you, they loved one person in the church the most. And that was Miss Tanya. Yes. She's like, yes. They could not stop talking about her. And then number two was Mr. Jance Goble. Yeah, go figure. And some of you are like, wow, your family was definitely weird. Now they but they love Miss Tanya. They said she is not the prototypical pastor's wife. And I thought, you know what? She's not. And so that was a blessing. Let me tell you, my dad's not going to be around long. He's got stage 4 kidney failure and things like that. But I was so thankful for him. And let me tell you something. He's been that way my whole life. It wasn't just a show when he came here. He's yes, glory, all the time I was growing up. See, it scares some of you. I was watching him. Look, I put him in that middle there. He used to sit up front. I put him in the middle there just for a reason. And I put Silas before, you know, he got his knee cut open on one side. And I was on the other side. We boxed my father in. Kind of taught, you know, basketball type of deal. So I boxed him in because I'm afraid he's going to take a lap. But he's the same and has been my whole life. And I appreciate a good father that taught me well. Some of you, Ms. Jacoby, she's not here tonight, told me that I need to be more like my father. How come I didn't learn to shout like my father? And I don't know. But anyways, thank you for being kind to my family. My four brothers and sisters were here. We had a great time together. It was a blessing. Psalm chapter 127. If you'll listen really fast tonight, I'll preach really fast tonight. I'm going to introduce you to 10 people. And then after I get done with introducing to those, we're going to do something special. And then after that, I'm going to tie it up and give you 4 things. Tonight's message is called Team Heritage, T-E-A-M, Heritage. Psalm chapter 127. We're going to start off a little bit different also today. We're only going to read 3 verses. But I'd like to read them all out loud because the Bible is written to you as a personal love note from God to you. And hopefully that you can read and you can read these out loud with us. So Psalm chapter number 127, we're going to start in verse number 3. And by the time we get to the 5th word, it's going to pop out to you. It really is going to pop out to you. Some of you read the Bible, but sometimes the word pops out to you. And so when you get to that word, it's amazing how it all fit together for tonight. Psalm chapter 127, verse number 1. We'll start together and go. Lo, children. Let's try it again. Here we go. It's going to be a long night for you. All right, I'm just going to let you know. It's going to be a long night for you. All together on verse number 3, Psalm chapter 127. Some of you are, I ain't read my Bible in a week. Well, we're going to read it tonight. All right, we're going to read it tonight. All right, Psalm chapter 127, verse number 3. It says, lo, children. Verse 4. And 5. Let's pray. Father, we need your help tonight. Lord, we read 3 verses that David wrote down. And Father, I pray that we will take very seriously this heritage that you have given us here at Heritage. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psalm chapter 127 was written, and it's a most amazing psalm. But I want to introduce you to some people. These boys over here have some signs, and there's 10 different men, 10 different boys that we're going to look to today to decipher what we have as children. Children are a heritage of the Lord. God is giving us here at Heritage a very much group of children. And it is our responsibility as parents, as Christian parents, to raise these in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thank you for that one. Amen. I appreciate it. Sooner or later, I'm going to go down to that seat right there and I'm going to amen myself. Or I'm going to get my dad on a Southwest airline from Greenville to Dallas so he can amen me. They are children of the Lord. And we here have been given that responsibility to raise them the right way. To rear them the right way. Now we're getting there. Good job. See, it would be much shorter if you help me. Take your Bibles, if you would, to verse number four. Let me find my paper. Sometimes these boys will steal my paper, and then you get it. You get lost. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 4. And I'll wait for you to get there for a second or two. Boys, when you hear your name, won't you come on up with your sign? So the people of Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant, a host. Now, when we see the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, what does that resemble? The presence of what? The presence of God. That's the presence of the Lord. That's what it revealed. That's what it was. And so these people are coming down from Shiloh. They get the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni Look at that. Now let me tell you, as we took these boys in here, everybody say hi to Hoffnai. Hi, Hoffnai. Some of you are like, Brother Scott, you just picked Noah because Noah's a bad child, and he's Hoffnai. The Holy Spirit was involved just a few minutes ago at about 5:35, where these boys got to choose out of 10 posters. Face down, they went in there and picked it out, and Noah picked out Hoffnai. Don't get mad at me and send me email. You picked on my son. And with a little emoji, because texting doesn't have any feelings. Email Brother Wiggins. And Phineas. Who's that just worked out real well, didn't it? How you doing, Phineas?
Doing great.
Tell the crowd hi.
What's up?
Oh, what's up? Wow, it's amazing. Brother Jesse, he's your youth. And he said, Hoffnai and Phineas were there with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. These two boys, Hoffnai and Phineas, were around the presence of the Lord. Can I get an amen? They grew up around the Ark of the Covenant. They grew up where God was. We see that they were born. Take your Bibles over to 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verse number 12. Oh, here comes the bad news. We saw that they were born, but now look what happens in 1 Samuel chapter number 12. Or 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verse number 12. It says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not who. Wait, how, Brother Scott, explain to me. Explain to me how you stay around the Ark of the Covenant your whole life and you knew not God. Some of you ain't getting it yet. How can these young people go to Heritage Baptist Church and grow up and not know God? Well, it happened in the Old Testament years ago. It certainly can happen right here. So let's don't stick our head in the sand and think that it can't happen here. These sons grew around the presence of the Lord and still did not know God. That's a sad story. That's a tragic story. That's a horrible thing. That's not something to be proud of. And we look back on the Old Testament, we think, oh man, how could Eli, the priest, raise two children that knew not God? And we can be hard on him, but then we come years later, and how can we raise children that know not God? Well, Brother Scott, that's Old Testament days. That's not the New Testament church. How can we let our kids come through these doors and know not the Lord? Here at Heritage Baptist Church. Lo, children are heritage of the Lord. Heritage Baptist Church. Well, they grew up around the presence of the Lord. They were always where the ark was. Take your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter number 4 and verse number 11. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to die. Look what? Verse number 22. Now Eli, who was Eli, the priest, their father, was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Tonight, when you go home with your children, you can have some devotions. We won't go any further than that. Verse number 23. And he said unto them, why do you such things? For I hear your evil dealings by all his people. Verse number 24. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear you. Make the Lord's people to transgress. They grew up around the presence of the Lord and the Ark of the Covenant. They did wrong. They were called the sons of Belial. And their old father looks at them and says, how could you do this thing? So Heritage, thousands of years later, how can you raise a young person that doesn't want to serve God? How can you raise a young person that doesn't know God? I believe in Genesis it talks about how the fathers of the generation of Israel, that their sons and their daughters didn't believe in the same God. Just because you got God in your life, and I'm thankful for a dad who was the first one in my life in generations of his family to accept the Lord as his Savior, and he changed the train mark destination forever. I'm thankful for a father like that. I'm thankful that he taught me the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and I was around the house of God. But being around the house of God doesn't make you know God. You got the knowledge, young people, but you don't have it in your heart. Well, Hophni and Phinehas are fixing to die. Look over here. Here they go. How about go to 1 Samuel chapter number 4, verse number 11. It's ironic, isn't it? Look what it says. And the ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were what? From day one, they're around the Ark of the Covenant. They're around the presence of the Lord. They lived their life as a rebellious young person. But it's amazing how life takes a big circle, and when they died, guess where they were? Around the presence of the Lord. Heritage Baptist Church, are we raising a bunch of Hophnis and Phinehases? Please, bless God, don't name my children's name. Well, I don't believe anybody's named their children Hophni and Phinehas. So don't raise Hophnis and Phinehases.
Amen.
Take your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 24, verse number 1. And I'm going to go quickly for the sake of time because I know how sensitive we are with time. Exodus chapter number 24, verse number 1. And he said unto Moses, this is the Lord, come up unto the Lord, thou, you Moses, and Aaron, and Nadab. How you doing, Jar? Everybody introduce yourself to them, brother. Okay. What's up? Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. It's amazing how the Lord, I just love how the Lord works. Picked out of 10 cars, brothers. Oh, that's all right. It's a Abihu. Don't worry about it. That's my fault. Oh, please, like you ain't made a mistake today. I could feel all the judgment. We should just pray right now. Some of you are like, I would never make a mistake like that. I'm done. No, Abihu. Aaron's sons. Aaron coming up off the greatest leader, the greatest military leader of all time, Moses. And here comes Aaron. Aaron's right behind him, taking the children of Israel and doing amazing, great things. He had two boys, Nadab and Abihu. They were born. Look what happens in Numbers chapter number 3. Verse number 1. These also were the generations of Aaron and Moses in the day of the Lord spake with Moses on Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron, Nadab, the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priest, which were anointed, whom ye consecrated to minister in the priest's office. And Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. And they had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron, their father. Nadab and Abihu grew up with Aaron as their dad, watching their dad take over the reins for basically what we have here today if it wasn't for the children of Israel. But they spent their life not looking at the God of their father, but of a strange God. And guess what God did to them? They died. We must be very careful that we are teaching our young people the doctrine of the Word of God. Amen. And be careful that you don't let your children go somewhere where they're not teaching the Word of God. The Bible says in Timothy we were supposed to honor, give double honor to the man of God, which is pastor, in our church when he teaches in doctrine. And one thing about our pastor, and I'm not saying this because I want a bonus, but it'd be fine if there is. He preaches good doctrine. He preaches right out of the Word of God. And if we try to raise our children and give them to somebody else so they can teach and worship strange gods, now strange gods could be football. I know that we're sports crazy and we are amazing how everything is about sports. And that's why I had them wear these uniforms, because some of them have lost all their muscles from football. But listen, sports are not our God. These boys, they worship strange gods. Guys, we better be very careful as fathers and as husbands, as church members and grandmas and grandpas, that we're pointing these people in the right direction to worship the true and living God. We don't want our children to die not knowing what their God is. We don't want their children to die not knowing that their God is something other than the Almighty God. Nadab and Abihu, gone. Take your Bibles, if you would, to Leviticus chapter number 24. Leviticus chapter number 24, verse number 10. The Bible says, "And the son of the Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp." Verse 11. "And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord." Now look up here. Come on up, lady. Let me spell this one. Lady Shellosmith's son. Some of you are like, "I didn't even know that she was in the Bible." You can look all smart and just say, "I knew it." I was talking about Jesse earlier, and he thought this was a Shunonite woman. I didn't know it either. I'm looking it up. I'm thinking, man, this is interesting. Boy, this will fit right in. This is a mother that was married to an Egyptian that's trying to raise a son. In the generation that we're living in, there's a lot of people that are trying to raise some sons. Oh, now it's going to get quiet. Now you guys, well, be careful, Brother Scott. Hey, we live in a day and age with a lot of broken homes. We live in a day and age where they don't get to grow up in the Baptist church. Hold on, let me just close my eyes, because some of you, the Bible says something like in Jeremiah or Daniel or something, that they want to gnash on them with their teeth. And I really feel that right now. I feel that vibe coming from you. Not everybody has grown up in Heritage Baptist Church. Not everybody's charter members of Heritage Baptist Church. There's been times that people have had a hard time in life. But God, for some reason, has brought these people here to Heritage so that we can help them. Well, that's all right. You don't like it, you can email pastor. Verse 11, "The Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses. And his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri, of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward." Now some of you are like, "What is ward? What is ward? Bro, do you know what ward is?" Yeah, I had no idea. I was a 42-year-old preacher. I'm like, "Ward, what is ward?" And I thought it was so interesting when I looked it up. Bible, you know, meanings have changed over the years. Yeah. A ward was an observation station. It was a watch station. Oh, man, you don't even know. Some of you that are not called to preach, you don't even know what that tingle in your leg, that's not a blood clot. You just want to get to preaching. An observation station, it even rhymes. It was a watch station. And they put that young man there and said, "Hey, we need you to watch my boy. We need you to teach my boy. We need you to help my boy, because he's a blasphemer and he's a curser. Can you put him in a watch station for me?" There's some of us in here that you may not have children, but you're in charge of the watch station or the observation station here at Heritage Baptist Church. "Well, I ain't got any children. But frankly, they just bother me." You're here for a reason. God's brought you here for a reason. Maybe you've had children already. They're already gone. But guess what? There's a bunch of children that need your help. Old Hillary Clinton, you know her? She wrote a book. It's called It Takes a Village. How many's ever read that book? Oh, Brother Wagner? You're like, I knew Brother Scott, he was a Democratic liberal. I knew it. But I look at that and I think, you know, it takes a village. You know what it takes? A church.
Amen.
To help us raise our children.
Amen.
A few years ago, a pastor died of mine, and he had 8 children. And weeks before he died, he got up at the platform, and he was with broken words. We knew he was going to die in a couple weeks. And this is what he said. I want to thank the church for helping me raise my children. For some reason, pastors put me in charge of 24 to 35-year-olds in Sunday school, teaching them how to raise children. Thanks, Brother Clark. I appreciate that. Like I'm the professional. You look at mine. And let me just put this side note here. Don't put staff kids on a pedestal. I asked the Holy Spirit many times before I preached today, Lord, help me not say anything. This may, I don't know necessarily how this fits in. But listen, we're all dirt. We're all flesh. We're all sinful nature people. Amen. Don't put your pastors or the Wiggins or the Latta kids or soon-to-be Biddle people. That's not an announcement. Don't put them on a pedestal because they're the preacher's kid or the priest's kid. Hophni and Phineas. You better love ours like we love yours. Just because we get paid by the church doesn't mean that we don't stink like the rest of us. We got sin too. Whatever. Everybody tells me that was for free. I'll pay for that one. I'll get $5 out, and I'll pay for me saying that. That's what I'll do. I'll just pay for that. Look what happens to old Shilamith's son, the daughter of Debring, this tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward. They put him in a watch station that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that cursed without the camp. And let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation do what? I feel for that boy. Children of Israel were a big group of people. He was being observed by a lot of people, but he didn't make it. I think we should start feeling some responsibility as a church when we have our children go wayward. Well, they weren't mine. They're not my kids. Well, they should have been a better father and a better mother. Well, you should have been a better role model for them. You should have brought them to the side and prayed for them. You should have said, hey, I love you and I appreciate you. I'm going to take you out for lunch. I know you're struggling. Oh, I don't want to embarrass a child. Well, fine, then we'll just take him out of the city and stone him to death. How about that? Well, I don't know if it's good or not. A lot of them are quiet, Brother Reed. Maybe you think it's good. The rest of them may not. But God's giving you a chance with some of these young people to be a watchman, to be a part of the management team of the observation station. I'll tell you, me, I've got 3. And if you put one of mine to the side and you want to pray with them, thank you. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Sharon, I'm so stinking embarrassed. They think Silas is a wicked person. Stephanie, Brother Scott's favorite out of his 3 children. Sorry, Samantha. I mean, I prayed that the Holy Spirit just give me the right things to say, and the Holy Spirit, I can't lie. I'll take you out for some pasta. I can't believe it. That he wants to pray with my child. What do we do? And it's so embarrassing. Hey, you better get over it. You guys okay? You got 9 minutes left. You'll be all right. Take your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 35. Genesis chapter number 35, verse number 24. I'm going to go fast. And the sons of Rachel was Joseph. Hi, Samuel. This Joseph over here. Look at that. I spell that one right. Please. I really want you guys to give me sass over Abihu. Please do. Thanks. And he's born. How you doing? Son of promise. Take your Bible. over to Genesis chapter number 37, verse number 3. Now Israel, that's Jacob, loved Joseph. It's amazing that we got you up here because your mom and dad, if they were honest, that you would be their favorite too. Over Reagan, real Reagan, not Phineas, but the real Reagan, they kind of love you because you're the baby boy. You're a sweet little baby boy. Jacob loved Joseph over the others. Children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Take your Bibles over to Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 20. And after Joseph got, chapter number 50, verse number 20. I don't know where I'm at. I'm getting so sick of this little clock right here. I'm just letting you know. That bothers me. I can't focus on the message because of the clock that's right here slammed in front of your face with these giant black letters. That goes 55 miles per hour, way faster than what real time is. Yes, that was the Holy Spirit that just had me say that. Genesis chapter number 50, verse number 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as in the day, he saved much people alive. Joseph was born to Jacob, and Joseph didn't have an easy life. His brothers didn't like him very much. They sold him, put him in a pit. They sold him off into slavery, and he was there for a long time, and then these brothers came back. And even his dad was so upset two times in Genesis, he tells us that he wanted to go to his grave mourning the death of Joseph, who was not dead. Joseph meets his brother the first time. They come back the second time. Joseph says, hey, this all happened. It was meant for good. Amen. We can look through the Bible, and I dare you to find me some times in the Bible where Joseph was sinning. Joseph was a pretty good little character. He was a pretty good little man. He didn't do a whole lot. But I'm going to tell you, at the end of it, he said, God meant it for good. May we raise a bunch of young people at Heritage Baptist Church that grow up and say, God meant it for good. It was good for me to be at Heritage Baptist Church. It was good for me to be around those older folks. It's good for me to have good parents, a good mom and dad. It's good for me to have a good pastor. God meant it for good. Take your Bibles to Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 1. That was so good. I got done in 1 minute. This little thing here. How about if I just let you see it? That way you can... Yeah, that really helped me right there. That really, really took a lot of stress off me. You don't even know. Daniel chapter number 1. Now among these were the children of Judah. Daniel. Hey, Cameron. Say hi to the people. Hi. Hananiah. Look at this pretty one right here. That's a Troy and Andrea one right there. Hananiah. Mishael, you got a good one, didn't you? Are you thankful you got a good one? Azariah. Sorry, Brody, we had a missing person today. Better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 8. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's, with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. These four boys over here. It's my fault if I go over. It's my fault because you're not supposed to be over here. You're supposed to be with your four boys. Why would you want? You know, you want to be on the wicked side, don't you? I mean, y'all saw that right here, that he automatically was driven to the wicked side. My son's not wicked, Brother Wagoner. He's not. He just went over to the wicked side. Right here in front of God and everybody went over to the wicked side. That's not even my lesson. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Azariah. I spelled that one right. Mishael, Daniel, Hananiah. They got captured. They went over to Babylon. They're standing in Babylon. And the king says, hey, I'm looking for some men that are going to stand in the king's court so that when other kings come, they can see my castle and everything that I have. And I'm going to put these boys up there. And they're standing in king's court. It's amazing how these kings chose those four boys and not somebody of their own. Yeah. These four boys were chosen to stand in Keith's court, well blemished, without blemish, and well favored, and good in science, and good in teaching the Chaldean language. And so the king said, I'm going to put them in my court. And the Bible says in verse number 20, what? Number 19, and the king commissioned with them, and among them all found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and all the matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them how many times? 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in all of his realm. These boys were found 10 times better. They were slaves going over into Babylon. They stood in the king's court. Let me tell you, they couldn't have stood in the king's court if they weren't taught what they had learned in Judah. Let me break it down for you just a little bit. These boys in the day and age that we're living in, if we're not teaching them the way that they should live when they're in Judah, when they get out into the real world of Babylon, they're going to fall on their face and not know who their God is. But if we train them right and we teach them right and we discipline them right, they're going to leave here in Judah and they're going to go to Babylon and they're going to succeed. They're going to lead people to the Lord. They're going to be chosen by people. You love it when pastor does this? Does she love that? Oh, please. Probably get fined for that. Well, that was introduction. Four things I want you to see tonight. And they're just sentences. Some of you are like, oh, no, another four. Some of you are saying, hey, it's going rather quickly. Before I give you these four things, I want all the children to come forward. All the children. Every child, come on. Every child, come on. Not you, Brother Clark. Every child, come on. Under the age of 18, come on. If every children were there, they're like, yes, I'm a child too. No, I just want you to stand on the bottom. Just stand on the bottom. Boys, you put your signs down. I think a lot of times we go to church. Thank you, Abby. We walk into the building and we think that it's time to forget about the children. Look at this precious one. You know, some of you, when these boys walked up on the platform, you had a frown on your face. And then when this little cook child walks up, you smile. Amen. Holy Spirit told me to say that some are easier loved than others. A dad had two kids, and one daughter went to the dad and said, how come you don't love me as much as the other one? Well, because the other one's easier to love. If we're going to be Team Heritage tonight, well, I told the boys to wear their jerseys, then we need to do four things, and we're going to spell it T-E-A-M. And as we do this, we're going to read, and we're going to be done in 5 sentences. We'll be finished. T. Love them and spend time with them. So, some of you, I mean, I want to stop, I do. You better love them where they're at now. And not where you wish, hope, think, desire, or expect them to be. Well, I'd love you more if you were more of a Christian. I'd love you more if you're more like Micah, the pastor's son. You better love them where they're at. Because you're not going to love them where they're going to be if you don't love them now. Now we're getting to preaching. Number two, you better enjoy them. Yeah. T, spend time with them because you love them. E, enjoy them. Take time to be with them. You'll never get it back. Yeah. I interview every child and every parent that comes to the Christian Academy. And I tell them, look, I will not trade Christian Academy for family. I won't trade ministry for family. They're two together. I'm not going to lose them. We could call a pastor right now and say that he traded his family for the ministry. Oh, don't look at me like you. That would never happen. Oh, that happens. Pastor Crawford, you haven't testified for many times that they lost their kids because they're so busy trying to fix everybody else's kids that they lose their own. You better enjoy yours. You want to take them out? I tell you that when we're in there talking to each other. You want to take them out for a week and take a fishing? You want to take them a week to go on vacation? You spend time with your family, love your family. Pastor has taken Micah fishing multiple times. Hasn't he, Micah? And you've enjoyed that, haven't you? That's amazing. That's awesome. I dare say if I asked the question tonight, how many would say, I wish I would have spent more time with my child? Amen. You're never going to get it back. Ah, you can look at me with a frown if you want to. I'm preaching. Number A, or letter A. Acquaint them with good, amazing, great Christians. That's you. See, some of you are like, who is that? Who's that supposed to be? That's you. These young people need you. I, as a father, need a brother Jesse. I, as a father, need a brother Schuler. Because he cooks and my kids are fat. I, as a father, need you guys to help me raise mine.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
And I'm not going to take them out there and put them with the Michael Jordan and the Westbrooks and all these football players when I got a great, amazing church that I can acquaint them with, that can give them role models in life in the future. M, you guys are the greatest team. Team's over. Motivate them to serve the Lord every day of their lives. You're like, wait a minute, how do I do that? Reeds, Day clan, grandma's grandpa's, motivating these children. They're not yours, they're just your grandkids. Motivating your children to live every day, because you know what? I just throw the secret out there, you guys are getting old. We need to motivate them. And as people of Heritage Baptist Church, whether you're old and a senior saint, these kids are looking to you to motivate them to say, hey, if they're old, they got gray hair and they got bald head, I want to do that when I get older. I want to be there when I have children, and I want to be there in a church that has children that I can mentor, that I can motivate. Are we a team Heritage here? Are you doing your part? Everybody else, God, I just want to sit the bench. I had a basketball team, and I told a girl to go in the game. I said, go in and get someone. She's like, I don't want to play. I said, you got your jersey on, you see, you're on the bench, get in the game. I don't want to go. What do you mean you don't want to go? Team Heritage, what are we going to do? I know we're 4 or 5 minutes over. HCA is going to come next year. You got a whole year to be out on time. So tonight, I think it's very good for us to spend a couple extra minutes and pray for our teens and our kids. I've asked Brother Lassiter and Brother Zellner and Brother McNeil to pray. They're going to get Brother a microphone. Can I be honest with you? These kids need you.
Amen.
Can I be even more honest with you? You need them. Brother Day, Brother Reed, you need them to keep you young. Amen. Team, love them, spend time with them, enjoy them. Motivate them, acquaint yourself with them. So tonight, as the invitation, these kids are going to stay here. Won't you come down and pray with them? Won't you come down? We'll make Heritage Baptist Church a team player today. They're going to bow. If you guys want to come, we'll start with Brother Zellner, then Brother Lassiter, and then Brother McNeil, if you'll end in praying. Brother McNeil, if you can come up to the platform, that's our platform, and Brother Zellner has his microphone. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. I know it's a different kind of invitation. Father, I know that it's out of routine. But Lord, as we looked at these 10 boys that were in the Bible, 5 of them didn't go so well for them. And then of the 5, they seemed to succeed. And Father, I don't want any of these young people that are standing up here tonight to not succeed in life. And Father, you've given us here at Heritage Baptist Church a great group of people that can help them turn out right. Father, may we not be proud. May we love the ones that you've given to us. May we pray with them tonight and build a hedge of protection around them. And Father, for this year and years to come, that we'll leave them in your hands. But Father, we'll be faithful and give you all the praise and honor and glory for it. If we all stand together, if you feel the need to come pray with some of these kids, come pray with them. Guys, if you want to just bow. And Brother McNeil is going to start praying. And then Brother Lassiter and then Brother Zellner, if you could finish. Brother McNeil.